ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तं वीक्ष्य देवा इति कन्दुका लीलयेषद् व्रीडाष्पुता स्मिता विश्रिता कटाक्ष मुष्टा स्त्री प्रेक्षणा पतिशमीक्षणा विह्वलात्मा नात्मानम् अन्तिका पुमां स्वागनां च वेदा तं वीक्ष्य देव इति कन्दुकलीलयेष व्रीडाश्रुतस्मितवृष वृशिष्ट कटाक्षमुष्टा स्त्री प्रेक्षणा प्रतिसमीक्षण विह्वलात्मा नात्मानम् अन्तिक उमां स्वगणंश्च वेदा तं वीक्ष्य देव इति कन्दुकलीलयेष व्रीडाश्रुतः स्मित विश्रिष्ट कटाक्षमुष्टा श्री प्रेक्षणा प्रतिसमीक्षण विह्वलात्मा नात्मानम् अन्तिक उमां स्वगणंश्च वेदा तं वीक्ष्य देव इति कन्दुकलीलयेष वीडास्फुटस्मित विश्रिष्ट कटाक्षमुष्टा स्त्री प्रेक्षण प्रतिक्षमीक्षण विह्वलात्मा नात्मानम् अन्तिक उमां स्वगणंश्च वेदा Translation. While Lord Shiva observed the beautiful woman playing with the ball, she sometimes glanced at him and slightly smiled in bashfulness. As he looked at the beautiful woman and she watched him, he forgot both himself and Uma, his most beautiful wife, as well as his associates nearby. Purport. The material bondage of this world is that a beautiful woman can captivate a handsome man, that a handsome man can captivate a beautiful woman. Such are the affairs that began when Lord Shiva observed the beautiful girl playing with the ball. In such activities, the influence of Cupid is very prominent. As both parties move their eyebrows and glance at one another, their lusty desires increase more and more. Such reciprocations of lusty desire took place between Lord Shiva and the beautiful woman. Even though Uma and Lord Shiva's associates were by Lord Shiva's side, such is the attraction between man and woman in the material world. Lord Shiva was supposed to be above all this attraction, but he was victimized by the captivating power of Lord Vishnu. Rishabdev thus explains the nature of lusty attraction. Pumsasturya mituni bhavam etam tayor mito hridi grantam ahu. Ato griha kshetra sutapta viter janasyamo Jamasya Mahoyam Aham Rameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. When a man and woman exchange feelings of lust, both of them are victimized, and thus they are bound to this material world in various ways. So here then, Krishna is showing the process of this attraction between male and female. That this is the, we see here glance being the most important, because that is how the connection is made. When the glance is exchanged, then, and when that is reciprocated, then this lust can start, this lust can be established. If there is no glancing, then basically we see that nothing will happen. Or if there is one glance, then nothing will happen. But as this, because there's many exchanged glances, then after the second glance, from the second on, then lust will develop. So this is the potency of the Lord. So Lord Shiva is supposed to be above all this, but this was being established by the Lord's internal potency. So the attraction in this world, actually also for the living entity, is the Lord's potency, though it is coming through the external energy. So, but we think it is what we are looking at. The objects of the senses, we see those, and we feel that those themselves are what is creating our attraction, or our desire, our happiness. But in actuality, it's not. It's actually the Lord. So those energies, then, we become bewildered by, because the Lord is the most attractive. He is attractive. And this material energy, dead matter, is not attractive. But because this potency has been imbued within the material energy, then we make the mistake, due to our conditioned nature, that it's the material energy that is attractive. The living entity wants to enjoy. This is the difficulty. So because they want to enjoy, then what is available to enjoy is the external energy. So as soon as there's something that is enjoyable, that is something that we want to enjoy, then immediately then we are attracted to this. If it's not something we want to enjoy, then the attraction is not there. But if it's something that we value, something we want to enjoy, then immediately the attraction is there. Is that this problem comes, is that in this world, then we identify according to this I and mine. This I being, the envy that one has towards the Supreme Lord. And so therefore I am the Lord, I am the controller. And mind, then, is what we want to enjoy. We are attracted to the material energy. We are attached to it, and then we consider it mine. So these aspects of I and mine, so this is what I do, and this is what is mine. So these then increase. So we see there that now also is so much discussion about, what about me? What about in my needs? What about, I've given so much for Krishna, but what about me? So we can understand that in here this is words spoken by those attracted by males, men and women. Those who are attracted by sense desire, those who are under the control of sense desire. Because then we see that there's an increase of I and mine. Because that's what's next. What about me and what do I have? These will be the discussions. So these discussions have come up because then sexual attraction has become, a standard rather than as a major item rather than a side item. When it is the major item, then I and mine is the topic. But if it is a side item, means I am servant of Krishna, but my conditioned nature needs to be engaged according to its propensities, then in connection with the conditioned nature, then it needs some things according to its identity. But it's not I, and the things that it needs are not mine. So we see is there's two different mentalities here. So depending upon those who are able to establish themselves in Krishna consciousness and at the same time take care of their various worldly duties, then that is the proper balance. But if the worldly duties become prominent, that is because the attraction, the attachment to sense gratification is prominent in their life. Therefore, the need for I and mine. So then in this, then all the things that are here, home, property, children, the body, relatives, wealth, then all this is established. You need a body to enjoy. Then you need a place to enjoy, and that needs to have be on some land, something that you call yours. Then from this, then naturally children come, marriage creates relatives, and then you need wealth to maintain all this. Then, so all this becomes the package. All these things come with I in mind, and all these elements must be there to appreciate this rasa, to appreciate this exchange. Otherwise, then without all this, then you won't get anywhere. Therefore, we see is in the modern there is some frustration that even though people are very free and they do whatever they want, they men and women mix very freely, but the satisfaction is not there, because even though they're increasing their desires for I and mine, they're not actually getting all those desires either. Just even on the social context. The body they have, they work very hard, but how long does the body last also? So then this becomes a frustration for them. Because the body being fully the purpose of the attraction between men and women, rather than it is part of the attraction, then there is a great disturbance that this I is not doing so well. This eye is getting wrinkles, this eye is getting saggy, this eye is getting fat. So therefore, then they have to work very hard to keep up the identification of I. And then we see all these things of mine, these are not being gained nowadays. Home, property, children, relatives, wealth, they're not being gained. So though they're having some fun, plenty of sex is going on, but from that, the other aspects that are natural expansions of it are not coming. Therefore frustration. Therefore disturbance. So then we can see is that even the normal perverted reflection of the spiritual world is not being gained by the impious people of nowadays. Because what we're talking about here, all this, you know, this verse, this actually, it applies to everybody. But the only ones that get it are pious people, unfortunately. Like that. The sinful people don't get these things. Therefore, then, they're even more frustrated. One, they're frustrated because they're absorbed in an illusion. And then even within the illusion, it's not a complete illusion. So then they're completely frustrated. So therefore, as the devotee, he tries to avoid being victimized by this. As it mentions here, that both, the men and women, they're both victimized. Like that. Yeah. So here, the influence of Cupid. Cupid is the desire, you know, for lust. The desire for sense gratification. That is what is bringing them together. So this method we see is not the best. You know, it may be exciting for some time, but then the difficulty comes as the realities of life aren't based on Cupid. You know, Cupid has a nasty tendency of shooting an arrow and then going away. He doesn't stay there at your house constantly shooting arrows throughout your life. He comes, shoots one arrow, and goes off to some other, you know, work. He doesn't, you know. So therefore, he creates the attraction. But then the attraction is based on the body. Then that attraction based on the body, then that means then there must be interchange or interaction between the bodies to maintain that relationship. If the relationship is based on lust, unless the body are exchanging with each other, then where's the relationship? There is no relationship. So that is the weakness. While in the Vedic standard, then the exchange is based on the platform of the subtle body, the emotional needs and all that. So then from that platform, then one, you don't need Cupid for that because you're dealing on duties. You simply need the mode of goodness. And two is, it doesn't really matter the condition that the gross body is in, whether it is still young and attractive or whether it's getting older and less attractive. Is that the point is the subtle body, there's no aging on the subtle body like that. It may mature, but it doesn't get old. You know, you don't have a wrinkled subtle body, you know, a fat subtle body or something like that. People like that. So therefore, then the whatever relationship is established in the beginning, that can last for a full lifetime. But if we base it on the body, then the problem is that youthfulness doesn't last very long like that. It basically, it's there in the teenage years, a little bit in the 20s, up into the touch, you can push it into the mid-30s. So it's getting wrinkly, but it's still in place. But at 35, then according to the Ayurveda, there's a mucus in the body, because the whole body is held together with mucus, bile, air. So there's a mucus in the body that creates firmness in the chest. And then at 35, that starts to leave the body. It becomes less and less. Therefore, then after 35, then one gets all saggy and fat. So then it's nothing one can do about it. Of course, one can try very hard. You know, people make lots of money off these spas. And, you know, so many different tonics you can take. You have different, surgeries and various medical remedies for all these things. But the point is one is fighting an upward battle. One's fighting against time. It's unnatural. So therefore, this platform of I then is considered not very important in the Vedic culture. What's useful socially is I is the subtle body. But in actuality, the real platform is I is the soul. So from that platform, I is the soul, then we see that one can perform one's devotional activities properly, and one can be properly situated in one's social position. Like that. Yeah. Oh, another aspect here is that when one becomes attracted, one completely forgets what is around him. So here, Lord Shiva is sitting here with his wife and all his associates, and he is so bewildered by this woman and looking at this woman, he completely forgets that his wife is sitting right next to him. And all his associates are there. So such is the power of Cupid, of this attraction, that one, you know, very quickly becomes foolish. Right, forgetting whatever is going on, one becomes very victimized. Any questions on this? Or? Yes. A little louder. See, is that Krishna's Lord Shiva is using is cannot be attracted by the external potency. He can only be attracted by the internal potency. But the internal potency then comes to him in the form of, you know, spiritual nature. So then he's attracted, you know, to the internal potency in the mood of service. And in external potency, he is the Purusha, but he is not attracted or controlled by it. So then, as a trick, then Vishnu used his internal potency, which will attract the Lord. And at the same Lord Shiva, at the same time as he's manifesting it through the external potency. Like that. So therefore, then it looks as though it is external. But at the same time, it's only attracting Shiva because the potency of Vishnu is being used, it's internal. Like that. Therefore, you can explain it from both angles. That is the point. But the methods of it are going to be the same. It means the attraction, attachment between man and woman here is the same as what is being manifest in the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, there's no mood of enjoyment. So that's the difference. One wants to enjoy. So because you want to enjoy, then it's a very funny combination, because you want to enjoy, so you want to control. But at the same time, as you are being controlled by it, the very thing you want to control is controlling you. Right? So that is, it's therefore victimized. So it's a very interesting thing. So what you're being controlled by is getting from you what they want, at the same time as you feel you're getting out of it what you want. So it's not, you see, there's no service involved at all. It appears there's service. That is what makes the perverted reflection pious, is that at least you create, you attempt the atmosphere of service. Therefore, you know, in the material world, it's pious when the mood of service is applied to all the social relationships. That's considered proper. Though on the material platform, that is not at all one's purpose. You know, but it is being presented through the mood of service, which is akin to the nature of the soul and is more close to the proper situation in the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, you don't have this victimization, you don't have this exploitation, because there it is only in the mood of service. So it's completely something different there. That's why this carries the material flavor. It carries, if you read in the Krishna book about Krishna and the gopis, it's very clean, very light, very pure. You read this, then you can feel the burning of the material energy, that the pain of the material energy, you know, that goes simultaneously with it. So you can see the difference between the two. There's a difference here. So then one can, you know, it means there's many purposes. Krishna does something, many things are done. As we see in the pastime, he'll do even more things. You know, so it's he is establishing that Vishnu is more is supreme to Lord Shiva, because before in the churning of the ocean, Vishnu was involved in the churning, but Shiva drank the poison. Right, so people came to him that only he can do this. Yeah. Vishnu could have done it, but he doesn't do such things. You know, these are for his expansions in the mode of, that's connected with ignorance. So then Shiva does this, but now he proves that Vishnu is supreme to Shiva. Right? Plus, he shows that no matter who you are, you have to be very, very careful about, you know, the association of women. Like that. So and just how the living entity becomes victimized by this material attraction. Like that. You know, and just what is the process of it. You know, you can see it here. He gives, you know, very fine details here. Playing with the ball, slight bashfulness, not very distinct, with smiling, defeated by glances, glancing at the beautiful woman, constantly being watched by her. Right? These are the tricks. So this is how it works. Right? If it's distinct, then you know, oh, he's attracted, she's attracted. Here, not very distinct. Because if it's attracted or not, then the mind immediately has to think, do I want this or not? Right? So then you're faced with a decision. But here, if it is slight, not distinct, then one gets drawn in. Is she attracted or is he attracted? You keep wanting to look and see, and And naturally, if you look at somebody, you're going to smile, you know, even whatever it is. You've been there doing something, and then you, like, let's say you're in the office and it's full of people, or you're in the kitchen, and then you drop something, right? And then everybody looks at you. And what do? You kind of look up and smile at everybody. So if anybody looks at you, you're going to smile. So it's natural that the man looks at the woman, they're going to smile back. Not because they're necessarily attracted. It's just habit. You'll smile. Right? So then, from this, because it's not distinct, because you're just smiling just to smile, you're not meaning anything, you're just embarrassed, or here bashfulness, or shyness. So you just smile, but it doesn't mean anything. So because it doesn't mean anything, then the other person is trying to figure out, well, what does it mean? You know, are they attracted or not attracted? Why are they smiling? So therefore, there's more and more glances. And as the more and more glances, the more they get entangled. Until one decides that they are attracted, but still you don't know. You know, that's the science, that's the, how you say? That's the, you know, the whole science, is you never know. You know. So then, in this way, then, one gets more and more and more involved. Otherwise, if you know if it's attracted or not, then it's, do what I want to get involved with this person. But it's never on that. So the mind can never, it just becomes attracted, but it can never go to the point of deciding until it's so entangled that it just happens automatically. So here, the science is given on how this attraction works, how Cupid works. Right, you know, it's a process. You know, everybody goes through this process. So therefore, if one knows this, then one knows that through glancing, one doesn't look. Right, like that. Then one can avoid such processes. Like that. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Yes.
Scriptures, you could perhaps analyze it's written in more of a like patriarchal type view, saying that for a man, even though the woman's form is representative of Maya. So, from the women's point of view, is it that the male form is Maya? Or I've also heard explained that the woman's form is also Maya for women.
Yeah, it means point the. The point is why it's always presented from the man's point of view and not from the woman's point of view is because the living entity in the material world thinks it's a man. It means God is a man. So every living entity thinks they're God. So you're not trying to overcome the gross material body because it's dead matter. That's not what is the problem in the material world. The problem is the desire to enjoy the material energy, which is enjoying energy is the masculine's prerogative. So the living entity thinks it's male. So we're trying to get over the male consciousness. Therefore, we see in here how this is working. This is female energy, but that's working in a masculine way. Like that. The gopis don't work like this. You know, it's just some explaining. There's no trying to catch and control for one's own purposes. Therefore, it's clean. There may be similar. It's similar. Means this is a perversion of the original. But they look at Krishna, the glances are there, but it's based on love. This is not love. We call it love in this world. Lust is called love. You know? But it's not love. It has nothing to do with love. Love means service, that it's for other person's benefit. But, you know, but one is working for one's own benefit. The woman wants to catch the man for her own purposes. The man wants to catch the woman for his own purposes. So therefore, the whole thing's exploited. It's a male program. Like that. Therefore, it's simultaneous. It's so well worked out. And where one has a need, the other has the exact opposite. Even though you just move over one degree, it switches. Like that. Therefore, you can't understand. Like, who's the emotional person, the man or the woman? Who's emotional, men or women? Yeah. Right? We'll say women, right? Because they are always a little emotional. But the depth of emotion a man goes into something is more than a woman. Right? It's like the woman won't get so fired up that, you know, they'll go out to war. Right? Because war means you lose your house, you lose your family, you lose your money. So it's not very smart. Right? But the man will get so emotional, you know, the national or this cause, he'll go out and kill himself. So he goes much more emotional. But if you ask, who's emotional? It's women, not men. So we could, depending on where it is, it's constantly switching. So therefore you can't tell what's what. You have a general idea, men are like this, women are like this. But if you check, you scratch, you'll find it's opposite. Women, men, they're tough, they're this, that. But if you see inside, they're very soft. You know? And they're looking for women because they're gentle. They can surrender there and they're expecting to be dealt with kindly when they surrender. And the women outside, they're very soft and nice. But if you scratch inside, it's the razor's edge. You know? Like that. So they're, you know, like that. So then, this is the thing, is how to combine. So therefore, the man shows his inside, and the woman shows her outside. That's a nice combination. But if the man shows his outside, and the woman her inside, then you have a problem. You know? So this is the one is, but the whole point is this is happening because of the masculine mood. So therefore it perverts. When the man wants to exploit the external energy, then it creates the material man. If he deals with the material energy according to God's directions, it creates the pious man, the gentleman. Like that. But and the woman, she's trying to exploit also. Therefore, it creates the material woman. Because you don't have the material woman or a material man in the spiritual world. You don't have that. But if they follow the pious rules that look like there, okay, Mother Jashoda does this with her child. Therefore, if the woman does that, then she becomes a gentlewoman. If not, then she's a witch. You know, the man also, if he follows the pious things and acts like he should, according to the rules, then he's nice, everyone appreciates. If not, then he's just, you know, he's a rough, you know, brute. Like this. So that is the process. So it's there for everybody. Because the point is, a woman is a man who is attached to a woman. So the mentality is the same. Just the manifestation of that mentality through the prism of male conditioned nature, female conditioned nature, creates that difference. So that we see something here. Otherwise, if it was just dead matter, then what would we do with it? But it creates that there's all the variety that we expect from the spiritual world. Right? No one questions why there's five rasas. Right? You'll find no book that questions it. No living entity questions it. No child questions it. Right? A child will question everything. Why it's green? Why this guy's blue? Why this is this? Why that's that? They never question why they're married. What's a father? What's a mother? What's a brother? What's a sister? You know? Who's that? Oh, that's the servant. Or that's the nurse. Okay. Oh, who are those people out there? Oh, they have, you know, some appreciation for, you know, your father or mother. Oh. There's no question of it. Because it's just rasa, these five rasas are what is natural. We didn't come here to get away from the spiritual culture. We came here to enjoy the spiritual culture. So that remains. But the problem is the living entities here are all male. That's why, unless you follow the shastras, there's no, you know, question of putting together a male and female and making it work. No question. Impossible. Because you have two men. You know? So therefore, you have to follow, the shastras are there to put it in place. You know, the man has to learn how he should behave. And the woman has to learn how she has to behave. Then you can combine that, and then both of them get the experience that they're a married couple, and they experience family life. But if they don't follow those rules, they don't really, and they don't end up with human family life. They'll have some family life, you know. I mean, it's like praying mantis, you know. after conception eats her husband, and she has some kids, you know, and so she, you know, she grows them up on her own. There's no husband there. You know, so I'm saying tigress, you know, she grows up her children on her own. You know, so, you know, but there's no house like that, you know. Like this, you know, birds work together, they have a house, and they, you know, work very hard to take care, but they both work, you know. Like nowadays, the question the other day, what happens if husband and wife both have to work? Yes, the birds are like that, they both have to work, you know. And then once the child is big enough and they've worked long enough, now it's, you know, you're on your own, kid, and they push him out of the nest. So, I mean, these things go on, but they're not human. So people are saying, you know, they say family life is going on, but family life, yes, of animals is going on, but not of humans. Humans is a different thing. Human family life is different. So this is, if one can avoid this, one can actually have proper family life. Because if one is victimized by Cupid, you know, overly, then proper family life won't happen. Well, if one can control and work within the mode of goodness, then family life is there. But the problem is mode of goodness is boring. You know, unless you're purified where you're comfortable in it, mode of goodness is boring. Therefore, you know, where's the excitement? But that's not the point. It means, yes, okay, you want to know where the excitement is? Yes, it's called, you know, divorce. It's called fighting. It's called, you know, custody cases. Yes, these are exciting. You know, these are like that, you know, so like that, you know, boring is that you're there at home alone with no one there, you know, you're hoping someone's going to call or there's going to be a good program on the television tonight, or you go down to the club, someone will be there, you know. So it's the people have become so conditioned to a bad situation that a good situation they can't actually even appreciate or handle. Even if they're put into it, they can't handle it. You know? I mean, their whole life they've been cheated. If they find someone who doesn't cheat them, they can't handle that. It's too much. It's too intense. Right? Because there's a taste in this one this and that one that. You can criticize, but this person you can't criticize. They're actually working to help you. What do you say? What is my rasa? My whole life I've been mistrusting people and criticizing, and suddenly there's somebody who doesn't do that, then how am I going to interact? You know, because my whole interaction is that it should be, I can't trust them. This person I can trust. Then it's like, what do you do? It's a freak out. So, therefore, unless one can follow this whole Vedic culture, then it's going to be rough. Like that. So whether one can follow it or not, the main point is understand that this is the ways of the world, and there's not really what we think they are. Therefore, we should give them up. Whether we're giving them up from the pious platform or we're giving them up from the impious platform. In any case, the end result, we must give up the attraction and attachment to this material world. Is that okay?
For one gene that takes birth as a male, one as a female, is the difference created by the different levels of desire to exploit the material energy, like a male energy? Or what's the strongest sort of indicative factor that creates, you know, one as a male body, one as a female body?
Means both are in the male mood, but then you have, when you have that, how you say, when you double the male, then you get female. That's the thing. That's why there's more attachment within the female. Because the male who thought of the female, you know, then becomes the female. So there's more attraction there. But when it's the other way, then it's less, because it's natural. See, for energy to be attached to energetic is natural. And in that, there's a slight serving mood. But energetic to be dependent upon energy is unnatural. Like that. Because Krishna is not dependent. Like that, he's independent. Well, energy is not never independent, it's always dependent. So therefore, that's why in the Vedic it goes that way. It's a reflection. it's material, it's mechanical, so it's put into place. You have to be trained in it. Okay, man should behave like this and be, you know, self-controlled, you know, determined, fixed in the proper, you know, knowledge and, you know, virtuous and devotional activities, be kind to others, like this. Then he's strong, he's independent. If his senses are controlled and he is trained in menial service, as far as activities, he doesn't need a woman. He can wash his own clothes, cook his own food, clean his own place, get his own money. He doesn't need women. So it's only for emotional exchange that there's a consideration. Like that. That's the male principle. The female principle is not like that. Opulence comes from the male. Right? And opulence is the situation in which the female is comfortable. Right? Krishna, he is Bhagavan. He's the source of opulences. But we know Lakshmi as opulence. So therefore, females are comfortable in an atmosphere of opulence. Men have opulence, but that's not their atmosphere. Right? But women, they like the atmosphere of opulence. Therefore, home, property, children, relatives, wealth. Like that. That's necessary to maintain, you know, the feminine psyche. And of course, women can say, we'll go out and get it themselves. Their own house, have their own car. You know, they went down to the, you know, sperm bank and got themselves impregnated and all that. And so, you know, they don't need all these. But it's not. We don't find that there's any more peacefulness. Right? We don't find. Unless they're wearing these scanty bikinis and G-strings to attract other women. But they seem to be spending a lot of men money to attract men, even though they don't need them. So it's unnatural. The natural thing of energy is to be connected. Therefore, the Vedic then shows how that is to be done. And then, at least socially, on the material platform, there's peace. The mind's peaceful. But that's not enough. One has to go to the spiritual platform. One has to go beyond that, because that may be satisfying to the material ego, but it's not satisfying to the soul. Therefore, there's need for the devotional life. Pious life is not enough. Pious life is only a peaceful situation, that's all. It's not a solution. You know? And it's not that only until we have that, then we can talk about spiritual life. Only when we have a good, solid, you know, social community, then we can talk about spiritual life. No, they have nothing to do with each other. Means, especially in this age, there's no question of a peaceful life without Krishna consciousness. Only because of Krishna consciousness we realize that there is such a thing as a pious life. But in this age, you can't be pious, really. It's getting harder and harder. You know, some people here and there are trying, but the odds are getting more and more against it. So by Krishna consciousness, then you can take those up. Because you have the determination and other things like that to do it. But even if one isn't situated, one can still become Krishna conscious. Though it will be much more of a rocky ride. I mean, trying to engage impious activities or lifestyle in Krishna's service is much more rough. In other words, the mode of passion and ignorance to engage it in Krishna's service is much more rough by their nature. You know? It means you engage something in passion, that it will be seemingly pleasant beginning and it will be hellish at the end. So as long as you're happy with that, you know, Prabhupada's relationship with his wife that he left wasn't hellish. It was a disappointment. Right? So, a whole lifetime together, and she couldn't even value his work of, you know, on the spiritual activity. So she sold his Bhagavatam for some biscuits. Right? Of course, many give her praise as the first one to distribute Prabhupada's books. But other than that, but she didn't catch what was the mood of her husband. Therefore, she wasn't actually such a good wife. like that. Otherwise, even if she didn't care about the Bhagavatam, she would have known the husband cared, and then therefore she would have sold something else. You know? But, so there's disappointment. That, you know, therefore, he's done the duties, the children are there, they're grown up, then there's nothing more he can do for this family. So therefore, then he leaves.
She might have done a great service to mankind.
Yes, that's there. It means that's Krishna's arrangement. Like that. But it's disappointment. There wasn't this, you know, very turbulent, violent court case and custody trials and, you know, plates flying and, you know, this and that. It's none of that. That's motive, passion, and ignorance you're trying to engage in Krishna's service. You know, so it's different. There it's like, you know, how you say, hate, envy, you know, what is all these secondary rasas, ghastliness, and all these things. You know, those are what's happening. So basically, except through the Vedic culture, you don't really taste the five rasas. But if you think about it, then that's what's there. Generally, in this world, one tastes is only the seven secondary rasas. One doesn't taste the main rasas, because the main rasas are of a different nature. Like that, the depth of it and the constancy of it, because that's based on service. The other ones aren't. I mean, to be fearful, you don't have to have a service attitude, you know. But to be a friend or a parent or a lover, you have to have service. So that's the thing. It's Vedic culture, then you can taste those five rasas. Non-Vedic, or even of that perverted, you know, then their improper understanding, then you get the seven rasas. That's explained in the third verse of the Bhagavatam, 1.1.3. Is that they're not really tasting these first five rasas. Because they only taste it in its reality in relationship to Krishna. But in its perverted form, they can be tasted here according to Varnashram. But if one doesn't follow Varnashram, it basically leaves it with the others. You know, you say, okay, my friend, but what are you tasting? Generally, is either chivalry or hasya. Right? Chivalry or laughter. You know, either you're profiling against each other who's better, or you're just, you know, joking and laughing. But how often is it you're doing something for that person as a friend? You know, putting out for them, sacrificing for them. So that's the friendship. But modern day, many times, there is no sacrifice. You know, as long as the laughing and other things are going on, that's great. But as soon as there's need of some service, then that's where the end of the relationship is. So you can't call that friendship. Really. It is very shallow. But it's not anything deep, you know. The girl attracts the boy by her physical beauty. That relationship will be shallow. Because he's attracted by her body, not by her as a person. In the way of her mind and her personality and that. No. So therefore it's a shallow relationship. So we find the girls that are the good dressers and good lookers, they have all the nice shallow relationships. And plenty of them. Right? So that's you get what you put into it. So if there's service, then you can go deeper. And if there's not service, it will stay shallow.
I'm not sure what he wanted to know. And I would have understood was that if both are in the Buddha and Jan, then what he governs in a female body sort of thing and a male body. I don't know if this was his.
Means the man wants to enjoy material energy in the form of a female, because it's like the you take all the material energy, then the most attractive form is the form of a woman. So he wants to enjoy that. So that means that there's an increase or increased desire to enjoy. So then he takes that form, and then the feminine form, the living entity within that, has a much greater desire to enjoy material energy. So that's what creates it.
Mm-hmm.
Is the point that they are thinking of a woman at the time of death, and so they make it a woman's
yeah, yeah.
The mentality at that time was really strongly enjoying mentality, so therefore...
Yeah, it means enjoying a dependency like this. It depends upon what was the purpose. You know, also probably what woman you thought of. It was your wife or your mother. Like it says, I think it's... I had heard a couple of years back that they had done a compilation of results of, you know, in the airplane crashes, you had a little black box that collects, you know, all the data, everything spoken, all the instruments, what the plane was doing, everything, you know, just before the crash. So then it was a common thing that the last thing that the pilot would say before they would crash, he would call out for his mother. Like that. So it would also depend, you know.
What would that make
you? You'd still become a woman, but probably more motherly. Because you see, it's those kind of persons are much more regulated, more sober. So they probably, the mother was a very strong mother. Like that. Well, other men may think of, you know, other women, wife, daughter, you know, like this. So it depends on that. That would make what kind of psychological makeup they would have as a woman. You know, whether they would be, you know, what was the purpose? You know, if they thought, because it's just like you see animals also, before they're going, many times they think they're going to be killed, immediately the sexual instinct comes up in them. So if that's the purpose, then they'll probably be a very lusty woman. If it's a matter of shelter, then they'll probably be a woman who can give shelter. Like that. In any case, there's attachment more to the things of the world. That's why it's created there. Though you're dealing with the same jivas, you know, it's just the conditioned natures like that. It's nothing to do with the soul. That's why it's not something to get worried about. It means the women who, you know, you call them Mataji and say, you know, they'll say, you know, why do you identify me by this body? We're not this body, Prabhu. They're the most absorbed in the body. Because otherwise, if you're not, who cares? You know, if I call that a table, then, you know, we're not this table. What do you call that? It's just material energy. This is earth, water, fire, air. Okay. I just wanted to put the glass down. So, you know. So that's the thing, is it's just a matter of knowing what it is and working with it. You know, someone's very strong, and they know, they have to acknowledge it. And so they're not going to be the one sitting down at the computer all day. They're going to be out working, doing some physical work, while someone who has no physical strength, then no, I can do it, you know, no, come on, you're foolish, you can't do all that, it's just ego. So they say, acknowledge, okay, so I'm suitable for this work, I'm suitable for that work, I'm suitable for this kind of relationship, so that, I'm a little kid, so therefore, I'm a kid, therefore I have to relate to everybody as a kid. I can't walk into the president's office and say, okay, you know, how are we going to organize the things this week and all that, and kind of looking about, you know, who said that? You know, down here. Oh, okay. You know, it's like, so it's, one just acknowledges it and just accepts it. If one can do that, then one can accept life, because whatever you are today, tomorrow it's different. Today we're healthy, tomorrow we're not. Today we're young, tomorrow we're old. Today we're good looking, tomorrow we're not so good looking. You know, today we have a fabulous memory and sharp intelligence, tomorrow it kind of starts to fade. So then, if we acknowledge that we're not these things, but work with it whatever it is, then we can adjust with it as it goes. You know, we can do the duties of our position, we can gracefully grow old, we can, you know, acknowledge that, you know, okay, I was doing that, someone else is doing this now. You know, like this, one can adjust with all these things. Then it makes life easy. But if one doesn't, because of ego, then there's so many problems, you know. You know, it's like you find so many difficulties. Like you have a community, and somebody else is, you know, now the president, and, you know, you have in the community 10 other people who are presidents, but they won't let the new person be the president. Because they were the president and that, and who does he think, you know, we were there in the beginning, he's got it easy now, you know, we did all the, you know, it's just, you know, he's the president, just move on. Why identify with it, you know? So, therefore, in all levels, you know, the physical level, the emotional level, the, you know, levels, social levels, your power structure, you know, how you say, administrative levels, if we identify with them, then there's a problem. You know, if we have a Kshatriya nature, if we identify, I am a Kshatriya, you have a problem. We understand, I'm servant of Krishna, my conditioned nature is that of a Kshatriya, so therefore, better I do these kind of services. And then how those services should be done. How would a Shuddha Kshatriya behave? Oh, he's supposed to protect, not exploit. Therefore, I have to protect the devotees. And I have to see that Dharma is in place, so therefore everyone's engaged according to their nature. And that everything is then geared to make everyone Krishna conscious. Then when that is your foundation, then you could do your Kshatriya work nicely. You know, but you can only do that if you're detached from it. You know you're not it. But if you think I'm it, then you will be looking for, then immediately you throw into this whole male mood. What am I going to get out of it? How I can exploit it? What I will gain? Well, if we understand I'm not this, then we just do those duties, and we know as our purpose is to become Krishna conscious. This is how we're going to serve Krishna using our conditioned nature. So the trick is that in the material world is both living entities are male. So you're actually trying to point out how both of them can become female. Then it works. But they will get along because then they're female, because they're female compared to Krishna, who is male. Because when you have a center male figure, then so many females can exactly work very closely together, more closely than men. Like that. Men are individuals who can work together. Then women, because of the nature of the energy, they can work exactly the same if there's a common point. If there's not, then of course it'll be a little bit more less able to work together than the men. So that's the whole point, is you bring all the devotees that I'm serving of Krishna, and Krishna's the center, then all that you can put unlimited living entities around Krishna as the center. But if everyone's thinking they're male, then it's going to be a problem. Because if someone's male, they have to bring everybody else as female. That's the whole thing. Everybody else has to be subservient to you. So that's the weakness, is that you have to create femaleness in everyone else to make it work. And they may not be willing to do that. So the easier thing is that we take on the mood of service. And that, then the conditioned nature will run fine. If we are in that mood of service, and however male or female, and whatever qualities that conditioned nature has will manifest, and then we will be able to socially find our place very easily. But if we identify with it, we may find great difficulty in being able to socially situate ourselves. Is that making
sense? If we consider the ideals and the science, as you say, what is male, what is female, how they work, and then you might recognize that, well, I'm never going to be a submissive wife, I can't do it because of whatever. So then that may not necessarily be an impediment in your spiritual life, but it just might mean that your family life's not funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not that we necessarily have to say, oh, I have to be an ideal on that level. Wife or husband or whatever, but then we have to recognize what is ideal, see that, okay, I fall short, but my real purpose is to serve Krishna so I have to tolerate whatever troubles are created by the fact that I'm not ideal here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's.
Otherwise,
that's,
you can get tangled up in thinking, oh, I have to be an ideal
no,
wife
it's,
or husband.
No, it means it's. The more of the question is you're not trying to become ideal for material perfection. That's generally what will be the mistake. Those who try to do, then they go after that. Is the reason you can't is due to an anartha. If one can't be submissive, well, on which platform one can't be submissive? You know, it's either service, well-wisher. Well-wisher also of the relatives, friends, and keeping the same mood, the same vow. So then, where is that? It means it'll be weak in one of those. You know, so then, but why is that? You know, can't develop a mood of service, then that will affect your devotional life. So you don't have to work on it in the social platform, you work on it on the spiritual platform. That's the thing, is that if there is a shortfall, you're aware of what you say. If you're aware of the ideal, then as you work on the anarthas, then those material situations will just fall in place as the anartha goes. But if you try to approach it through working it out through the material, then you may or may not be successful.
That would seem to depend on both, say, in marriage, on both people being working in the same way. Otherwise, you may not want to be similar in vows, say, if the other person's vows are not Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's there. That's there. That's definitely there. But that's why in the Vedic thing is that all this is worked out before marriage. Of course, you can't understand if that changes during marriage. But at least, it shouldn't be, too obvious too quickly, That means then the match wasn't worked out properly. So that's the weakness nowadays, is it's hard to get really close because you don't know who the other people are, because you don't see the family, you don't see the traditions. They don't have traditions, so then your family can't go and check the other family and see what their traditions are and see if they match. You can't go to the other person's family and find out that, and their family also, after they use the bathroom, they go into the kitchen and wash their hands. Then okay, here's a match. But if go there and you find out that, they don't even wash their hands in the bathroom, then this is not a match. You don't worry about other things. You look at these things. These are what are seen. But you don't have the opportunity. So then it makes it very difficult. Whatever. But in any case, you have to work out those anarthas anyway. Wherever you see them, they're there. So you have to work them out spiritually. And see, if an anartha is not there, there's also this other aspect of rasa. Is depending upon how you behave, you draw from the other person naturally. So if there's a quality that's not there, if you have the maybe also you don't have the proper quality also. The person's saying, oh, they're not kind, but maybe we're not kind or we're not in the position that we deserve kindness. We're demanding kindness. So you can't, if you have a beggar come up to you and demand money, it doesn't elicit from you the feeling of kindness due to their misfortune. But if they actually are sincerely misfortunate, it draws from you the nature. So it could be also that the things that you're looking for in the other that aren't there is because we don't have the compatible opposite thing that draws. So if we work on our anarthas, then naturally the heart becomes purified. So these things will fall into place. And then we'll see just somehow or another, like magic, some of these things start happening. And even if they don't, it doesn't matter. The main thing is as long as we can... But then we have to be able to philosophically look at it. See, that's the thing, is that the household situation should deal with the emotional needs. And at the same time is one's intellectual observance then becomes... develop, because then you see the things that the Shastra talks about. So if in the marriage it's not working nicely, and you can see that, and you can work, okay, that's just as good as it's going to get, and you can handle that, but that means, generally that means you have to work more on the intellectual platform. You have to look at the situation more philosophically. Then you have to get something from somewhere. Then you can get by without those, you can rise above those needs, because those needs are not really important. They're important for the conditioned nature, and they're not important for the soul. Like that. They're not, that means that what's important for the soul is those things, but from this connection with Krishna. That's what's important. Like that. So if one can handle that, then that's better. That's easier. Because then one's approaching it more from goodness, and then it will work more. But if not, the emotional needs are there, then it's better to try to work out, come closer to the ideal. Because the ideal will bring about emotional satisfaction. While the proper philosophical understanding, that will then, how you say, will make one satisfied on that platform. That's why you see generally in the brahminical, household, the emotional externalities of the emotional needs are minimal, though there's just as much emotional exchange, but it doesn't need so much externals, you know, just let us say without much physical contact, then emotions can be exchanged. Well, let's say in a Shudra situation, you know, without a lot of physical contact, then they won't feel that emotions are being exchanged, you know, things like that you'll find. So the Brahminical doesn't require so much externals like that.
This could be a dangerous situation, all right? When somebody is not a good human being, not on that level, and, well, for instance, a wife, you know, she doesn't want to be an ideal wife, but she wants to be an ideal liberal. It's incompatible. Unless you are a good human person, don't beat your husband with a stick every morning and say, oh, I'll compensate becoming more spiritual.
No, but that's,
doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
I'm
taking it here meaning that one doesn't have the samskaras to know naturally how to do all those things. So therefore, one may try to do, but it doesn't come out so well. You know, like that. So there's a sincere attempt to try to be the ideal husband or wife. One knows what one should do, one tries to do it, but due to samskara, it doesn't find it very easy, or what one does comes out kind of funny. But if one ignores it, then better than one leaves the relationship and lives on one's own.
Still, it will create bitterness, Maharaj.
Oh, of course. No, but what I'm saying is that
it's not easy to become a spiritual person if you are broken in bitterness.
No. It won't. It means the point is the person is going to have problem in any case. But what I'm saying, it's honest. If the wife only wants, you know, certain facilities out of the husband, and that's all, and doesn't want to deal with the husband's needs, then it would be more honest that she just is on her own and gets her own stuff together and then enjoys, you know, her loneliness. And, you know, she has to get it. But in either case, at least there, only she suffers. While the other way, then she suffers and she makes someone else suffer. So but point is the ideal is not actually so difficult. Main thing is it's more accepting it. But the point is practice is there, samskara is there. So, you know, but the principles are very, very simple. Like that. The principles are very simple. But, you know, it means the more one is conditioned. See, the point is if someone is able to spiritually advance, even though they're not so good on the lower level, but it will mean because of their good qualities, then they will come in, good qualities will come from the spiritual level. So then they will be a nice person from the spiritual level, though materially may not. Does that make some sense? It'll come in from the other side. Means by spiritually being advanced, then they will become like a Madhyam devotee can work with devotees. A Kanista can't. Kanista can work with other devotees based on attachment or motive, while a Madhyam can work with others just based on that they appreciate devotees. Therefore, then a member of the family, if they come to that platform, they'll deal with all living entities nicely. Why not also the family members?
Yeah.
Like that. It'll come from that side. You know?
If there's a balance, then it is easier to approach that side properly.
Yeah.
If it is unbalanced, even it will take much longer and much more difficult to get anything from the other side.
Yeah, it will be very difficult. Because the point is if one is having social difficulties, it generally means because one is identifying with them. So therefore, because of ego, then there's a problem. If you can reduce the ego, even though the problems, the lack of ability may be there, but it's not like a child is not expert. It doesn't have great ability. An adult does. A child is unqualified. But if the child is humble, everybody appreciates the child, even their, you know, so-called attempts and, you know, whatever they do. You know, it's like, you find, you know, many times the mother still has packed away somewhere, you know, that drawing of, you know, you take the brown crayon and draw a straight line, and then you draw a little triangle for a mountain, then you put the little house on a 45-degree angle, and then you put some smoke coming out of the chimney, you make the sun and you put a big smile on it, and you put one bird in the sky like that, and then there's at least one or two little funny stick green trees, and maybe there's a couple of stick people. Mother still has those drawings.
Yeah.
Right? But that, you can't call this, you couldn't take this to the, you know, to yeah, you know, and get and auction it and get you know, some money out of it. No, it would. So, but because of this sincerity, it's appreciated. So that's the thing. If ego is dropped, then even though one is not expert, one doesn't know how to do, one doesn't know how to interact, but one is trying one's best, it will be appreciated. And it will work. So therefore, from the spiritual platform, you can correct that. But there has to be that dropping of the ego. But if you maintain the ego, you cannot actually get spiritual development. Because we see a madhyama means so there's humility, there's tolerance, there's respect, not expecting respect. That's a madhyam. So then from that platform, one will naturally behave nicely. Though one may not be expert, one may not be able to cook, one may not know how to take care of the kids or the house, or know how to dress properly, or, you know what are, you know, really the needs of the, you know, the husband or wife or these things. But you will try, and even though it's not the best, it's, you know, one will be happy. Because there is no perfect, no woman in history has ever been satisfied with a man. What a man could provide, what a man could do for them, never. But it's close enough. And the woman has never been really what the man was thinking. Maybe for a short time, but with time we find, you know, not. So therefore, it's always, it's close enough. So if one drops the false ego, then, and one is sincerely attempting, then it will always be close enough, though it may not be anywhere, you know, near, but the bridge will be gap. The gap will be bridged. Is that okay?
I have some balance, as long as one is able to keep the balance. Then it could work, right?
Yeah, it can work. That's why Prabhupada says it's not so important that you have, you know, really high compatibility like you need for materialists in a marriage. Because devotees, because of their nature of being appreciating and working with devotees, or humility, lack of false ego, even if it's not so exact, they can make it work. Because from the devotional side. But if they look at it from the material side, then you may have really big problems. Because they may, you know, though it may be, how you say, their backgrounds and values are so different. But if Krishna is the value, then they have common values. But if Krishna is not there, the material, they may not have such great common values. That's why you need to, you know, like you say, you have to combine both. It must be balanced.
You can't drop the ego, even if it wants to drop it. The ego is what man is.
But
it's not an easy thing to drop. Either.
No, but that can be dropped by the devotional practices.
Yes.
That's my point. It's by chanting and sadhana, then ego can be dropped. Then that will, therefore, a devotee is appreciated in all spheres. Like that. He's appreciated in all spheres. Because, like Prabhupada, he would go anywhere. He was always seen by everyone, if not a spiritualist, but at least as a perfect gentleman. Anyone who met Prabhupada, they all considered him a perfect gentleman. So therefore, you know, at least minimum that much, you know, it's just is appreciated. You know? So therefore he could function in any situation and people would be pleased. No, he had disappeared. It said he disappeared, so that made it more dramatic. So then Shiva was then looking around. Where is he? He was already roving and looking. So that's already set the flavor for looking, because he's trying to find. Then when he finds, then he'll be looking. While Vishnu was sitting there, and then and then, you know, okay, here's Mohini Murti, and then he, you know, points over there, and he'll look, and they'll go, wow, hey, that's pretty beautiful. Yeah, this is amazing. You're really beautiful, you know. Like that, then it would have been a whole different thing. But he's created the environment. His whole thing was to create this environment to bewilder Lord Shiva. So therefore, first he's already looking, trying to find. So there's already desire is there, even before she's appeared. Then when she appears, and already then so beautiful, and then how she didn't just walk by her, she was just sitting there. But she's playing ball, so then that automatically creates an illusion. Then she's playing ball, and then her hair comes loose, so she, you know, and then loose hair is always creates attraction like that. So then she's trying to, you know, and she's playing ball and loose, trying to tie her hair. Means if she was alone and someone wasn't looking at her, she wasn't trying to attract someone, she would have either wouldn't care about her hair because no one's watching and just play ball, or she would have stopped playing ball and fixed her hair. But this is the trick, is to play ball and try to fix the hair. So then it adds in another element, you know, just that cuteness and trying, and then needs that help and can't do, and all these things. It just draws out the Purusha nature from the man.
So if Lord Vishnu was still present, then he would not perhaps have been attracted.
No, because then he would have just talked to him. He would have been just looking there, because he was expecting just to show the form, and he'll see, oh, very nice. So that's what he looked like. Okay, but he was thinking, how am I going to bewilder him?
Tricks.
So therefore, he disappeared and manifests there, and manifests in this way. You know, also he manifests not just anywhere, but in a grove where all the trees with red leaves and flowers, so that pink creates passion. You know, so all this, you know, he did made all these, and we're going to see more tricks. Tomorrow is more tricks. This is only the start. Okay.
So, come back to switching the point again. So, for a knowledgeable and wise, introspective man, really in the world, not your world, is no more. Or, from the emotional point of view, everyone is a woman.
Means if you can work on that platform, right? You can work on that platform. It depends upon if you're talking about a man who's in grihastha life or a man who's out of grihastha life. Like that. If he's in grihastha life, he can see that way, but he still has to acknowledge that the women that he deals with have the conditioned nature of women. So he must deal with them appropriate for him as a grihastha. So his wife doesn't expect him to deal with him as a, you know, yogi. She expects to deal with him as a husband. Though he may be a saintly husband, but still husband nonetheless. Right? But if he's not married, then he can deal just as a saintly person and not as a husband. So he acknowledges the, you know, that they have the conditioned nature, the feminine conditioned nature, because that's it. It's just like, can a pure devotee tell that that's a table? Right? You know, by the external systems, you know it's a table, and then you know you have to deal with that. That's a wood table, therefore you deal with it differently than you would a steel table. Like, you can't put something hot and wet on top of that, but if it was steel, you could. So you acknowledge what it is and you deal. Therefore they'll deal, but they'll deal as a sadhu dealing with a woman. Right? So they'll deal with them as mother or daughter, not as husband. And because they're spiritualists, their mother and daughter means it on the spiritual platform. Right? But if they were in the family, then mother and daughter means then they have to be taken care of them. It means a different thing. So they can have that vision if they can get to that. What I'm saying is it depends on whether you're okay.
I agree with you. The relation is everything based on the degree of my body is there, we are material already. So in order to create an harmonious cultural standard that is set up. But in fact, all the women are trying to enjoy like a man, so they are actually a man.
Yeah, but unless you know that they're also a woman at the same time, then you'll have problems.
But because the instinct principle is that trying to enjoy that, not like in the spiritual world, and it's my knowledge.
Yeah, but if you are able to observe it, that means you'll have to be on the Madhyama platform. So then you make yourself open to it. See, Sukadeva Goswami didn't identify them as women. They're just material energy. So, therefore, there's nothing there to enjoy. They're just material energy. That's all. It may be in the form of a woman, but it's just dead matter. And the energy, and he sees Brahman, so he sees Brahman everywhere. So, the Brahman of feminine energy, the Brahman of tree energy, the Brahman of earth energy, you know, the energy to hold up, you know, the feminine energy, you know, whatever it is there that's there, you know, the nature of water, he's just seeing energy, he's just seeing Brahman. Therefore, in that case, there is no male or female. Then one is beyond. But if one identifies, and Vyasadeva came, and so then the girls could understand this also. Girls can understand who's attracted and who's not. Like that. That's, for them, it's very easy. You know? Man may or may not be able to tell, but women can tell. So then, so when he went by, they just folded their hands in reverence that here is such a sadhu, right? 16-year-old, prime of youth, you know, son of Vyasadeva, most pious. You won't get a more beautiful boy. 16 years old, stark naked, like that. Why he wouldn't attract these girls? Right? But instead, they can see he has absolutely no attraction. And he is beyond that. So they're offering their respects to him, standing naked themselves. You know that, you know, they haven't seen such a you know, living entity. But as soon as Vyasadeva comes, then immediately they're grabbing their clothes, putting it on, everything. He is also an Uttamadakara. He's also beyond. So then he stops and asks them, why is it my son walks by naked? You know, young boy, attractive. And you're offering respects. I'm an old, ugly man, dressed, you know, and you're putting your clothes on. He says, because he doesn't discriminate between, you know, us and anything else. Well, you do. You identify us as women. So therefore, as women, we're supposed to be dressed in front of men. But he doesn't, therefore we don't have to. So it's also the platform you work at. Is that if you're identifying them, then you're working as a Madhyam. And if you're not identifying, then that's you're working as an Uttama. So now someone who's an Uttama working that's come down to the Madhyama, that's one platform. But someone who's at a Madhyama platform who hasn't attained to the Uttama platform, then he has to be careful. That verse is coming up. That's also part of this pastime. Means these are the tools you use. You understand, you know, all these different things, and then that will calm down the bewilderment or attraction by the whole male and female principle. These are the tricks that are used, the tools that are used. But you cannot be free. You can't then, you know, you identify this and that, they're all men, and then move freely with them. No, you'll get victimized. Because as long as we have the enjoying spirit, we're always prone to be victimized. So until we give up the desire to enjoy, then until that time, then we will be susceptible. Like that, even if we have that knowledge. So therefore one maintains the proper etiquette. You know, the husband, you know, has his wife, but all other women are mother. And those who aren't married, all women are mother. Then you can be careful. Okay, we should end here, because otherwise it's getting into basically all the points of tomorrow anyway. Okay, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Jai Gaur Premanasi.